In the third sorrowful mystery of the Rosary, my dear faithful, we join our Savior in his crowning with thorns. When the scourging was finished, our Lord, already covered with wounds over his entire body, was dragged from the pillar. He was roughly cast to the side in the soldier's courtyard, where he was left to wait for Pilate to summon him, leaving the rough Roman soldiers nothing to do but wait. The scourging of our Savior had brought a source of distraction before, and soon enough they think of a new way to pass their time. The soldiers had heard Jesus called a king, and yet they have just tortured this king of the Jews. And how could they leave unattended this great king who sits wounded and bleeding in their courtyard? Maybe it started as a jibe to mock our Lord, or a soldier may have mockingly bowed, or may have begun right away with another blow upon our Savior. However it arose, the soldiers soon gather round the Redeemer to play a game of ridiculing, torturous homage. Our Savior's tormentors quickly realize a mistake, though. How can they honor our Lord as king if he is not wearing a crown? Every king has to be crowned, they say. We must make one for him. One of these soldiers notices a thorny bramble in the courtyard, and he cuts a bundle from it. He beats it into a ball with his sword and carries it to our Lord and places this ball of thorns upon his head. He calls over another soldier, and together they take sticks and press the thorns into the skull of our Lord. Finally, when they had made sure it was on securely, the soldiers step back and admire their work. The sacred head wears these thorns as a helmet. They cover his entire scalp, though some thorns reach even lower, piercing into his forehead and all about his face. His body has already been covered with wounds, and now his head is no different. The most precious blood seeps forth, running down his hair, dripping to the floor. Some flows to his eyes, forcing them closed, blinding him to the world around him. Meanwhile, the soldiers exult in this new addition, clapping the one who had had the idea on the back. All laugh together how the king of the Jews has finally received his crown. But this is not enough for them. More must they add to continue their torturous game. Another soldier declares a king must wear the royal purple. He grabs an old, worn-out violet cloak that still has some color left. Then he throws it none too gently on our Savior's back, fastening it around his neck. As he does so, he drags the rough cloth over the open wounds from the scourging. Again, the laughter is renewed, and they look for new additions to make. One grabs a reed of grass, thrusts it into the Messiah's hand, and then declares, finally, the king's costume is now complete, for he has his crown, his royal robe, and finally, his scepter, showing his authority. At last, he is ready to be truly honored. All are called together, and they gather before their crowned king, joining together to pay their respects to him. Each one takes a turn, genuflecting before our Lord. Then each one adds his own special act of giving honor. One spews forth a vile insult. Another spits in his face. Then there is a strike to the head, a shove to his body, a smack upon the wounds of the scourging. One after another, new torments are added, all accompanied by the gleeful laughter of our Savior's torturers. This tragedy continues until the soldiers finally have their fill, tired of their game. Our Savior is soon called away back to Pilate, where he will be presented to the people, just as he is dressed now, a ragged robe of royal violet, a crown of thorns covering his head, and a large reed in his hand. Pilate will expose our Savior, so tortured as this, to incite pity from the people's hearts. Ecce homo, he will call out. Behold the man. But the people, led by the Pharisees, will feel no pity at this sight. Instead, they see prey already cornered, and they shout again for his death. Crucify him! Crucify him! But, my dear faithful, let us draw our minds back to the scene of the crowning of thorns. Amidst so much vile abuse heaped upon our Savior, and all throughout, he merely endures. While insults, blows, calls for his death rain upon him, the all-powerful God-man answers nothing. He works no miracle to free himself. He does not argue with his torturers. He does not even raise a hand to shield himself from at least some of the strikes. How easily our Lord could have brought all of this to a halt. A simple word, a divine command, a look, would have brought all to their knees, begging forgiveness for their transgressions. Instead, the Messiah remains steadfast and enduring, for always he thinks of us, of you and me. He does so because he knows the temptations that will assail us through life, like thorns assaulting our minds and hearts. He recognizes the demons who will be our tormentors, ever offering a crown of false pleasures in this world, only so that they may continue their game of torture in hell. The Messiah understands our weakness, just as he is so exhausted in this mystery from so much pain, blood loss, and sorrow. For you and me, he allows the soldiers to have their fill, for he repairs for our sins and merits the grace we need to combat the temptations in our life. Though thorns of temptation may assault our mind, remember that our Lord has already endured his crown so that we can conquer exactly these trials. When the demons offer their lying homage and mock comforts, bring to mind our Savior remaining steadfast under his tormentors so that you too can remain firm in service to your King. at those moments when your natural human weakness calls for relief, to give up on virtue, to fall into betrayal by sin. We call our God, barely able to sit up under the abuse. But his eyes, as always, are firmly upon you. Throughout the crowning of thorns, the thought of your soul is his consolation. And now, in your life, let the image of Christ crowned be your strength in turn. See him seated upon the stones in the Roman courtyard. The bramble of thorns plait his head, the violet cloak about his shoulders, his chest and arms covered in bleeding rents and tears. But his eyes, though partially closed from the blood and bruises, nevertheless, his eyes are upon you. See him crowned in pain so that you can one day wear a crown of glory. No matter what trials come upon you, remember, what will our divine Savior not do for you at that moment? Keep your eyes on our King throughout any temptation. Ask for the strength you need from him, and the grace will always be given to you to overcome any temptation you face. Put your trust in your Messiah, for always his most sacred heart is open for you as a sure and a safe refuge. As he persevered to the thorns, the insults, the torture, so Jesus remains always and ever at your side, offering the grace for you to triumph. Resolve during this next mystery, the decade that we pray, to carry your cross as well, and to make a return of love to your God, who suffered so much for love of you.